Quad Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
I have the honor and privilege today to interview Gary Wilkerson. Now, Gary is the son of David Wilkerson, and if you saw the cross and the switchblade, then you know exactly who I'm talking about, David Wilkerson. And Gary is the president now of World Challenge, and he has written several books, and we're going to talk about his new book with his father's sermons, and we're going to talk about an upcoming church conference that you as a pastor or your parishioners might want to attend. You know, God is on the move, and we need to be right on target and ask the Lord, how do we answer these hard questions that so many people are bringing us in our congregations? I'm Judy Redlich. Gary, welcome to Encounter.
Thanks, Judy. Good to be with you today.
Now, the first question I have to ask you is, what was it like being the son of David Wilkerson?
Well, let me first just talk a little bit about who he was and then kind of what it was like to be his son and be in his family.
Great.
Some people may, as you said, read the book The Cross and Switchblade. I think it sold like 50 million copies. Then a major motion picture was made. It's been a while now, late 70s, but it was the story of a life that had great impact. He was a pastor of a small church in Pennsylvania, and he read some articles in the magazine about gang members killing children in New York City. And instead of getting angry and frustrated, he started praying, and the Lord led him to New York City, and he started preaching to gang members, and many of them started getting saved. That became the story of the Cross and Switchblade, which out of that, then the gang members started a heroin epidemic hit New York City, much like the opiate epidemic is hitting us now today in our generation. But then it was heroin, and so the gang members started dissipating, because when you're on heroin, you don't want to fight. You just want to lay there and just enjoy the high. So the gangs sort of went south, and the drug epidemic hit, and so he started Teen Challenge, a drug rehab program, and that's now in about 1,500 centers around the world. As we speak, there's probably 25,000 young men and women who are in recovery and coming to Jesus, and lives being transformed, and homes being healed and rescued. So, you know, thousands of lives being touched.
Yes.
And from then, he went on to start both World Challenge, which is what I have the privilege of leading now, and then also Times Square Church in New York City. So he was a man of great impact, great fervor, great passion, above all else, a great love for Jesus.
Well, I remember when Teen Challenge started here in the greater St. Louis area. My husband and I have worked with the homeless for all of our married life, and we worked very closely with Teen Challenge, trying to get some of those guys off the street, guys and girls. And it is amazing how your dad started that ministry and how it's mushroomed and grown throughout the years, and so many success stories.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool that you guys could connect the Teen Challenge there in St. Louis. It's a great program that is touching many lives. And you know, and that impacted me. You know, his ministry impressed me. I just saw that. I saw the power of God, and I wanted to be a part of it. So at a very young age, I felt a call of God on my life into ministry. And I was thankful to have a dad who took interest in that and mentored me and prayed over me and prayed with me and took me to his meetings and taught me about preaching and teaching and leading and caring for the poor and the lost. And so that's in my DNA. I'm so thankful for it.
So what was it like growing up in a house where your dad was a real mover and a shaker, and he, when God spoke to him about stuff, he didn't just let it lie, but he went after it, like founding Teen Challenge?
Yeah. You know, I would go with him to the center in Brooklyn, New York, just to see the work that he was doing as a young boy. And I'd be so impressed at the impact that he was having. But then when we come home, it was just a joy, because he would pay attention to us. He'd play games with us. He'd take me out and play basketball.
Oh, good. You know, good, great, good, good.
Yeah.
That's important.
Great model. It is. It's a great model of what, you know, pastor, a Christian leader should be in the home, not just preaching about it, but living it out and caring for. I have three siblings, and we had our share of problems, and there were difficulties in the home, and he traveled a lot, so sometimes we felt a bit like we missed him, but we knew it was for a high purpose, and when he was home, he paid attention to us. Matter of fact, I wrote a book about, a biography about his life called Dave Wilkerson, The Cross and Switchblade and the Man Who Believed, and in the book, I tell a lot about some of the difficulties that he faced personally. You know, it's, I didn't want to write a book just about the great accolades that a person can accomplish, but write a true story about how all of us were jars of clay, but by no means diminished his impact on us as a family or his ministry around the world as well. So, yeah, just, and yeah, I've tried to emulate a lot of those things that he taught me as a child. Now with my four kids and nine grandkids, it's a blessing
wow.
to pass those things down
wow.
generation to generation.
Well, and you look at the spiritual battles as you are a great ministry leader, and as David Wilkerson kind of set the tenor for so many people in our nation.
He did. He was a man who set the tone almost in every generation. You watch him as I was growing up, you'd see him at different seasons in our nation. His mission and ministry transitioned into something that could impact that. So it was the gang members, the drug addicts, and the during the Jesus movement, all the hippies. He was out there on the beaches and the streets preaching Jesus and people come to Christ. And then in the 80s, back to New York City, where there was homelessness and a lot of drugs. The Times Square was a horrible mess with open drug sales and prostitution and triple X rated theaters. And he started a church right in the middle of that. So, wherever the greatest need was, that was where he was drawn.
And that church is still there today, Times Square Church.
It is, yeah.
How many members does it have, and what is the population of the church today?
I think when my dad was pastoring in its heyday, it was probably about 10,000 people. And since COVID, it's come down a little bit, but not a lot. It's got a great pastor there, a young man that I grew up with, actually, in New York City. His dad helped my dad at Teen Challenge, and so it's been a great joy to partner with him in ministry. I lead World Challenge, which is a missions organization and a place to encourage pastors. But my friend Tim Delina is leading Times Square Church. He's done an amazing job. And there's, I don't know the number, but it's thousands and thousands gather every week and probably about 100 people coming to Christ every week. So it's definitely a soul-saving station.
That is really amazing. I'm talking with Gary Wilkerson, the son of David Wilkerson. You might remember Crossing the Switchblade, the book or the movie, and Times Square Church. He started that. He also started Teen Challenge. And World Challenge is the name of the ministry today, and Gary is the president of that ministry. Gary, can you give me an example of a story of faith and how God moved that really touched your life to solidify your faith and maybe the faith of people who are on drugs or alcohol or just seem to be living such destructive lives?
Well, yeah, there was an event in my life. It started very early. I was probably maybe 6-7 years old, and we were living in New York at the time, but he was going to go preach in California. It was during some of the older listeners might remember the hippie movement in the late 60s, early 70s, where kids were running away from home and getting on drugs and living in communes and taking buses and just traveling like nomads wandering around. And so he got a heart for them, and he went to California to do what he called a crusade. It's an evangelistic event. And there must have been thousands and thousands. I can't remember the number, but it was like a basketball arena that was packed with, and never seen so many teenagers gathered, long hair, dirty clothes, living on the beach. They came to this event, and at the end of it, he gave an invitation for people to receive Jesus, and probably half the crowd came forward just pressing to the front. They started throwing things up on the stage, like heroin needles and bags of marijuana and even a gun. I remember seeing a Hell's Angel guy put a gun on the stage, kind of flipped it up towards him, and tears in their eyes. And the impact of that for me was like, number one, nothing's impossible for God. Like, this thing seems out of control. You can see the news, and I said, there's this hopeless generation, and to see God move. And at the same time, I remember feeling like that's what I wanted to do with my life. So, I never wanted to be a fireman or a football player. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to see people, this life transformed. And of course, at 6 or 7, you don't fully know what that means.
Right, right.
But there was something in my heart, and just, knowing that, and just that drew me even closer in relationship to my father, that we would be partners later on in ministry too. And we got to travel to the world together. I think we traveled to 70 different nations together.
70 nations. Wow. What was that like? That must have been a whirlwind.
It was powerful. We were doing pastors conferences. Some of them were small, like 100 pastors in countries that were, that where the church was underground, up to what we were in Africa together, and 11,000 pastors gathered. And in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Just seeing all kinds of great things and getting to just be on the road with him. You see something about people that maybe you not see anywhere else when you're traveling, because it can be tiring and you can get frustrated. But to see the real person behind that, it was a tremendous joy. But so all those nations and hundreds of thousands of pastors and leaders, we got to encourage and stir up their hearts and faith that God could use them. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't just choose somebody like a David Wilkerson or a Billy Graham and say, you're going to be set apart in a different way. Of course, we all have different callings and different gifts, but, the power of the Holy Spirit works through all of us the same way. A single mom raising four kids can have and needs the same anointing that, a David Wilkerson would need, because that's their calling. And God is wanting to use them to do something significant, not just with their kids, but in their neighborhood and at their church, and helping volunteer in different ministries. So we all have a place. And yeah, I did learn that from my dad, that he didn't feel himself as more important or having a greater connection with God. He was just one of God's servants, and we all can be used by God in mighty ways if we just have faith.
I think of the calling on his life where he answered that calling. What do you say to people that said, 10 years ago, I think God spoke to me about this, but I didn't do it? What do you tell those people?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm sure there's people that are like that. And I would just say it's never too late. God is, his callings are irrevocable. They don't change. If he's called you, that he's still ready to have you. And I would say just get engaged, go for it, and start small. You don't have to quit your job today and go to Bible school. You can, if that's what he's telling you to do, but you can just volunteer for something at your church or your ministry. Most people that are used by God in full-time ministry just started by helping out somewhere, and then God opened up more and more doors to the point where it was such a demand on their life, they had to leave other things behind and go into full-time ministry. But yeah, I would definitely say it's never too late.
Never too late. Gary Wilkerson is my guest. He's the president of World Challenge. And we're going to stop here and go to a break. Would you join me for a second segment?
Absolutely. Be honored to.
All right. Hey, we're going to talk about your new book called Fire in His Bones and an upcoming church conference for pastors. Maybe you need some fire in your bones to see how God can continuously use you in your life. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter, and my guest is Gary Wilkerson, and he is the son of David Wilkerson, who founded Times Square Church, and also he founded Teen Challenge, and now the ministry World Challenge. Gary, in the first segment, we were talking about The Cross and the Switchblade and how that movie had so much effect on all of us in the 60s and 70s in the book. Not me in the 60s, but later on. But now you are working on church conferences to really train pastors how to reach this generation. Is this generation really, Gary, that much different than 4 decades ago or 3 decades ago or 2 decades ago?
I believe it is. I think 4 decades ago to 2 decades ago, we would be a nation that was rooted and grounded in faith and in the Word and in a local church. The majority of us would have not only considered ourselves Christians, but would have really pursued a Christian walk in faith. Over the past few decades, the numerical declension in church attendance is one thing, but what I'm more concerned about is the spiritual declension in the hearts and lives of people. A lot of people are saying, well, I wish we could change the political condition of our nation, but you know, our politics follow our people. You know, we're a people-led nation, and as go the people, so go the politicians. They follow after the hearts of the people, and there's been such a moral declension, a spiritual declension. These two things are deeply concerning to me and to our ministry. But we believe it's not too late, that God is able to revive. He's able to bring a spiritual awakening to our nation. But we're at a crossroads right now. We could head the direction of Western Europe that was once a very vital Christian nation that had great revivals, great awakenings. But now if you go there, I was just there a couple weeks ago, and in one country they had, in Europe, less than 1,000 Christians, evangelical Christians now. A lot of those nations have less than 1% church attendance. We're not there yet, thankfully. I pray that we don't get there, but I am deeply concerned about that. And that's why we're calling on pastors to come to a place of personal revival and awakening, where the Holy Spirit is alive in their heart, where the Word of God becomes something that they're deeply hungry for once again. They're on their knees crying out to God for their people, their city, their church, their family. You know, as goes the church, so goes the nation. We are in desperate need right now of something that only God can do.
Fire in Our Bones is the name of the conference. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we wanted to see, again, more than ever, the church is in need of a spiritual awakening. And if the church can be revived, then the nation can be turned around. It came to me from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. And Jeremiah was desperate. He was ready to give up. He just said, this nation has turned from God. This nation has become wicked. And he just didn't want to deal with it anymore. But then he turns and he looks to God and all of a sudden gets refreshed and says, you know, I don't want to speak about this anymore, but there's a fire shut up in my bones. And I believe strongly that pastors need that fire in their bones. They need to preach an uncompromised gospel. They need to preach the holiness of God and the love of God and the passion and power of God to redeem a people. And so we're using that Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 text to call pastors to revive that fire in their own bones, where they get up in the pulpit and they preach with fire, where they care for their flock with love, where they care for their city with passion. And there's a brokenness in their heart over the condition of not only America, but the world as well. So, yes, we're doing these Fire in Our Bones conferences, one in New York City at the church my father started called Times Square Church, a beautiful Broadway theater that right in the heart of Manhattan. And that's going to be August 2nd through 4th here in 23. So we would just pray that pastors would come, Christian leaders, Christian workers, heads of ministries, volunteers at ministries, people that really want to engage and see revival in their own heart and their ministry, and be able to proclaim a word of that fire shut up in their bones.
Those dates again?
August 2 through 4. So it's 3 days. I'll be there. Nikki Cruz, you were talking about.
Nikki Cruz.
Nikki will be there. Pastor Carter Conlon, who was took over for my dad at Times Square Church, he'll be there. Several other well-known speakers. There's a man named R.T. Kendall, who is a great pastor, brought revival to many churches in Europe and England. So he's an older man, but preaches a passionate, powerful word. And then the music group Shane and Shane will be doing the worship, as well as some other, Jared Anderson and some folks are coming. And so it's going to be a powerful time of worship, a fellowship, and of trusting there's some men and women of God who are going to bring the word of God with a way that would revive the leaders' hearts as well. You can just Google Fire in Our Bones Conference, or you can go to our website, worldchallenge.org, and we have you can register right there on either of those sites and get you going. Don't delay. Move now.
I want to encourage you. Move now. Get your friends to go. Fire in Our Bones Conference?
Yeah, and call pastors. You can call your pastor. If you're listening, you say, well, you know, why are you spending all this time talking about this? Well, a lot of Christians, we get letters in here at World Challenge in our office week after week, month after month, year after year, just saying, you know, my church is dead. It's just, you know, my pastor's worn out, or our church is closed down. What do we do? And you know, for such a time as this, I believe God's raised up a word in season for pastors and Christian leaders to get restored to that first love and first passion that Christ wants us to have. And I believe that can change the trajectory of our nation and keep us from going the route of Western Europe and other nations that have fallen into spiritual declension.
And when you think of the people groups like the homeless, so many more homeless now than there were 20, 40 years ago, because they just are broken. So many are on opioids, and so many just are so destructive, to where you think, well, are they ever going to find Christ? How can they ever get to the bottom of the bottom to find Christ?
Right. Well, you were telling me before just we started the interview that your family is working with the homeless. I just want to thank God for that, that people have a, you know, they're not just watching the news and saying what a horrible situation, but people like yourself are taking action. And that's really the primary way to change situations like this is the church waking up and saying, you know, we're not going to just leave this to the government. We're going to do something about it. So, you know, when you see the news stories, like in at the border, I was watching news yesterday, yeah, and had a story about El Paso, and you know, the airports are just packed with hundreds and hundreds of people sleeping on the floor, and you know, which is a different kind of homeless epidemic. It's the, you know, the immigrants. But then you have the lot of cities opening up the mental institutions, and people come out in the streets, and you know, yeah, the crime situation. It's difficult. But again, like I said earlier in our last conversation, that nothing's too hard for the Lord. These people can be touched and redeemed. And you know, just on a personal note, you know, my father started Teen Challenge, a drug rehab program, and many homeless people were set free and delivered and healed and living a wonderful life now. His father was a pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor, but my son actually became a drug addict and just really got so bad that we had to ask him to leave our house, and he became homeless for a short season here. We live in Colorado, and right in the middle of winter, and so it'd be 1, 2 in the morning, he'd be calling me saying, "Dad, please let me come home." But I knew he would just steal from us and you know, increase his drug habit, and so we couldn't do it. Heartbreaking, my heart, just to, you know, you're trying to lay in your bed and tears rolling down your face because your son is sleeping on the street somewhere. So to me, this homelessness is not just a news story or a problem that our nation faces. It's something that my wife and I cried ourselves to sleep over, having our own son homeless. And one day he called me and said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this, but last night I was sitting in the dark, completely dark, and all of a sudden this light came in and overwhelmed me, and it was the presence of the Lord and filled me with His Spirit." And he said, "I know I'm changed. I'm not using drugs anymore. I'm going to come home. I'm going to get a job." And that's been 8 years now. He's been clean and sober. He's married, has 2 kids, a wonderful job, and so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that, you know, he just blesses me. And so I know the miracle working power of God. Homelessness, drug addiction, none of that stuff is too difficult for God or for Christians who will just say, "God, use me," just in some small way, whether it be helping at a soup kitchen or getting involved in a ministry or just trying to one-on-one talk to somebody who's on the street about the love of Jesus. There's breakthrough power available to the church.
What a refreshing story, Gary, that you have just shared. It so hopeful for moms and dads who are on their knees for their children that might be addicted to opioids. You got a new book just coming out called Fire in His Bones, which is about your dad's sermons and this upcoming conference, Fire in Our Bones, to help rejuvenate pastors and church leaders to go after those souls and remember that Jesus Christ could do it. Can you give us the dates again of the conference and how they can sign up?
Yeah. And if somebody, maybe they're driving and they can't write these dates down, just go back to Fire in Our Bones Conference. You can Google that, or worldchallenge.org, New York City, August 2 through 4. And you can pre-order. The book comes out next month. You can pre-order it now. It's called Fire in His Bones, and it's a collection of 50 of the most powerful sermons that I believe my father, David Wilkerson, have preached. We have a few advanced copies, and it comes out in February, but you can do an advance order right now on Barnes & Noble's or Amazon or any place where you buy the books. But some of the advanced copies we've got in, we've given out to some pastors and leaders, and they're just saying it's been a great encouragement to them. So,
Fire in His Bones, David Wilkerson's most 50 anointed sermons, according to his son, Gary. And also, Fire in Our Bones, the upcoming church conference. And that scripture is in Jeremiah 20, the conference is based on that scripture. Oh, Gary, it's been a joy having you. Gary is the president of World Challenge. His father founded Teen Challenge years ago. So many souls have gotten saved because of his father's courageous steps out in faith. Gary is following that. His son healed from a drug addiction. Times Square Church. God has used the Wilkerson family in that ministry. Again, if people want to know more about your ministry, World Challenge, or Fire in Our Bones Conference, or your new book, Fire in His Bones, where do they go?
WorldChallenge.org. That's the most simple place.
WorldChallenge.org. Gary, thank you so much for joining me for Encounter today. I'm Judy Redlick. It's a joy to know that God is still in the moving business, and he can transform lives like you've never seen before. But we've got to trust, believe him, and go after those souls. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Redlick, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of their Bot Radio Network.